That said, please take your Bibles if you have them, and if you don't, there should be one in front of you, and open up to 1 Peter. It's in the back of the New Testament. Anybody ever get one of these flus that was going around? Anybody ever get sick? It seems like it just stays in your chest for like ever. I'm almost over it, but I still got a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 3, say amen when you're there, please. I just want to tell you, you know, we're going to have 10 or 11 baptisms, I don't know, baptizing people. And I'm glad some of you came and visitors for the first time to see your loved ones be baptized. And you should. It's a very, very important thing. It's it's the commandment that Jesus commanded us. And that there's only two ordinances given to the New Testament local church. And the very first thing is be baptized after you become a believer. After you get saved, then you're baptized because it means something. It means something. You'll learn that. But also the second one is to take the Lord's Supper and communion. And that's after you become a believer. And that means something very, very important. But only two things. So I think if Jesus gives us two ordinances of the church, I think we ought to pay very close attention to them. And I think we ought to do them. Amen. But one of those things, it is water. And you think about it, and in, what is it, in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 15, Jesus, when he started his ministry, he came down to the Jordan River, and he went to John the Baptist, who was baptizing people, and he came walking into the water, and John just was floored. And John looked and saw and knew that he was the one that God had sent was going to come. And he said, no, I have need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said these words. He said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. For this it becometh us. It is what we're supposed to become and what we're supposed to do, us, to fulfill all righteousness. This wasn't... He didn't need to be baptized, we know that. But he did it so that we, us, could fulfill everything that's right. Amen? And that's the importance of baptism. But here in 1 Peter, are you all there? I hope you had plenty of time. Starting in verse 18, we're going to read down a little bit. I just want to show you something. Then we'll bring out the title of the message and what the message is really about today. It says in verse 18, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he, Jesus, might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Don't let that pass your eyes. That he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. Hallelujah. Man, I just think of that. Look at this. I'm going to pick on the first person I see. Come on over here. She's over here. She's not in God. She's away from God. She's on this world. She's in sin. God can't and her can't get together. She's a rotten, no good scoundrel. She didn't make me breakfast today. That's all right. I didn't want breakfast today. But anyway, Jesus came down to this earth to bring her to God. To bring her all the way to God so that she can come to God. You understand that? That's why Jesus came to bring her. But he didn't just do it. He didn't come down and bring, did he? He didn't come down to this earth and say, hey, I'm bringing you to God. I'm bringing you to God. I'm bringing you to God. He didn't do that. He came to, and he died on the cross. The only way he could bring us to God was for him to die. The only way for you to come to God is you must die as well. Thank you. I'm glad I embarrassed you enough. She's cute, isn't it? That's Francis. Everybody say hi, Francis. Amen. We're hoping Francis doesn't leave us. She graduates this year in a couple months, going off to college, one of them smart people. And we're hoping she picks a college close by so we can see her. Amen. But look what it says again, please. It says that he might bring us to God being put to death in the flesh. Jesus could not bring us to God unless he was put to death in the flesh. That is how he was able to bring us to God. You understand that? And the same principle applies to us today. We cannot come to God unless we die in the flesh as well. Keep reading. Look what it says. Verse 19. By which also he went and preached into the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Look in verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. And in the parentheses, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Look what it says, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. The reason I read those all the way down to verses is because it's so important. Just like it says in verse 20, it says 8 souls were saved by water. 8 souls. How many Bible students in this room know who those 8 souls were? Who were they? Who were they? Noah, his wife, and his family. 8 souls were saved by water. How many people died by water? That same water that saved 8 souls killed every single person, every single human thing, every flesh, everything that lives on the planet was killed by water. But yet that same water saved 8 souls. And then he goes on to say, and now Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and all powers and principalities and powers are dominion. He has dominion over. He's a reason he said that, because there's power in the water. Not like you think. Not in the physical realm. There's power. How many times we sing the song, there's power in the blood? Come on. You know, how many people know that? Many people, if you're in any kind of, Bible-believing church of any kind, they talk about the blood of Christ, because that's why he came. Only Jesus Christ had that blood in him. No human being ever had the blood of God in him. He was God. He had the blood of God. And only the blood of God was sinless and perfect, could pay for your sin. So that's why Jesus had to come, so that he could do it. But I want to ask you a question. It says, 8 souls are saved by water. Look here in the next verse. It says, the like figure, whereunto even baptism does also save us. The title of this message is Saved by Water. I wrote it purposely because there's going to be people going, what? Baptism can't save you? And that's why I want you to listen. It's also on the internet. Maybe it'll catch a couple of ears. Because can baptism save you? And they don't answer, because I'm just looking what the Bible says. It says 8 souls are saved by water, but the rest of the world died by water. And then it says that baptism does now also save us. But look what it says. It says like figure, the like figure. I just want you to think about this today, that Christ being our example. Do you know that Christ was our example? How many people say know that? Amen. No doubt he was our example, that we ought to be like him, live like him, do what he says, that he might bring us to God, the Bible says, by the death of the flesh. How many people believe in the blood of Jesus Christ? How many people know that without the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved? Have you ever seen it? Have you ever felt it? You ever put it on your head, put it on your hands, went up to it? Exactly. The same way, by faith in what God did on the cross, you're going to have faith in the water as well. There's a reason for it. To live, we must die. The Bible's pretty clear that it's opposite of what we believe in this world. This world tells us one thing, God tells us another. Amen? In the Bible, we must live, we must die so that we can live. We must die to self so we can live for Jesus Christ. Noah and his family, like I said, they were saved by water, but yet the rest of the world, the wicked world, the devil's family, those that followed Satan and didn't follow God, they all died by that same water. Let me add a question. Are you saved by water? 1 Peter 3:21 says like figure. You know what that means? A like figure means a representation of it. It means a actual representative. So this is a representation of something that God wants you to know. Not by the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That's why he's telling in parentheses. It says that you're saved by water, not by the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but by the answer of a good conscience towards God. How many people can say, my conscience sometimes is not really all that good towards God, because sometimes I sin, I feel guilty, sometimes I don't feel worthy, sometimes I feel like, oh my goodness, am I really saved? Sometimes, you know what I mean, you feel that way and you don't have a good conscience of God. That's why God, thank you Jesus, has given us baptism. Baptism is so important, and me and the people, and myself included, did not understand it. And I'm hoping today to just help you understand a little bit. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 6, please? Romans chapter 6 in the New Testament. Say amen when you're there. I like when the Bible says, don't you know? Because you know what? Truth of the matter is we don't. Truth of the matter is we are an ignorant people when it comes to the things of God. The truth of the matter is we're ignorant, not rude, ignorant, not knowing. That's what the word means. We just don't know what the Bible teaches. We just don't know what Jesus Christ actually did. We all hear the stories like Easter coming up, and we all think it's this. It certainly isn't even what we think it is. You know, it's not about Easter bunnies, and it's not about eggs. It's about the resurrection. Hallelujah. It's about that Jesus Christ was risen. What does that mean? Yeah, it's pretty important. No. The Bible tells you that if He be not raised, then you are dead in your sins. If He be not raised, you have no chance of ever having your sins removed. If He be not raised, you have no chance of ever going to heaven. It's everything. Amen? It's everything. How important is the cross? Someone say, I want to hear you. Doug, I'm talking to you today. How important is the cross, Doug? I can't hear you. Yeah. How important is the death, the burial? How important is the resurrection? Are we all in agreement? It's important, isn't it? I want you to remember that. Chapter 6, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And God, thank you for this. God forbid! For those of you that think we're under this age of grace, and we are, but you think because we're under this age of grace, I can just do whatever I want, you're highly mistaken. Or may I say a Bible word, you're very ignorant. Ignorant towards God. Ignorant thinking that you can just sin because you're under grace is the most rudest, ignorant thing you can ever do to God. Because that's why He came, so you won't sin no more. Amen? Look what it says in verse 3. It says, know ye not, I love it when He says that, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His, say, church? Thank you. Look what it says in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if, I haven't underlined that, it's a big, the biggest, most powerful word in all the Bible is if. If. Calvinists believe there is no ifs in the Bible. You have no choice in the matter. God's just either going to save you or you're not going to save you. You're either damned and there's nothing you can do about it. But the Bible is very clear. There's a lot of ifs. God doesn't want a people that blindly follow Him. God wants a people that believe in Him. God wants a people that trust in Him. God wants a people that obey Him from the heart. Not obey Him because your mommy and daddy said it. Not obey Him because your religion says it, but obey Him because God says it. Amen. Look what it says. It says in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Let me read that again for those that missed it. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. I want to get ahead of myself because there's a lot I want to say and there's a lot in this message that I'm not going to get to. I have so much to say that it's very, very, very important and it's very deep and spiritual and it's really cool. But I don't have the time to get to it all. But really what we're talking about here is baptism. Right? So we're talking about baptism. It says, if you've been planted. You know what they say when someone dies and you go to the graveyard, they plant them in the ground. Right? Isn't that what happens? Well, that person's never getting out of the ground until the day of resurrection. Amen? But a child of God, a human being, what God says is, if you be planted in baptism, in the likeness of His death, just like He rose from the dead, you're going to rise. And that's why everything you're going to see, and I hope it unfolds, the picture of baptism is the most powerful picture outside of the cross of Jesus Christ. How powerful is the cross of Jesus Christ? We still talk about it today. Without it, there's no hope. Without it, there's no salvation. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? You got to be kidding me. Really? This is great news. He said that whosoever, that means anyone, even me, even a wicked, no good person like me? Yes, Michael, because God loves me. He loves you and he loves everyone. He says he would not perish if you believed on him. That means go to hell. That means true punishment forever. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. And we talk about the cross. And they talk about, you know, we had this conversation last time about Good Friday. And they talk about when Jesus got crucified on the cross. And that's an unbelievable time. Unbelievable. In history, there's never been a time in history, in human history, that any such event ever happened on the earth. Nothing even comes close to the crucifixion of the Son of God. And the reason it became so powerful, because he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead. And everyone saw him for 40 days, and 500 eyewitnesses saw him, beheld him, and it's changed the world. And that same good news, that gospel, changed this world. Changed you, I hope. Change that world. And we're still here today, 2,000 years later. And to me, and I hope to you, it's just as powerful as if it happened last night. Hallelujah. It's still real. It's real. And the blood and the crucifixion and every single thing, the story, it's real. You know how I know? Because he lives. He lives in me. Because he didn't stay dead. It changed everything. If he would have stayed dead, it wouldn't have changed nothing. But he rose from the dead, and that changed everything. And you say, "Why? That sounds like an Easter story." No, that's what baptism is. Baptism is a story of a human being that gets planted in the likeness of his death. Water, death. That's what water represents. It represents death, just like it did when God flooded out the earth. Just like it did before the earth was even created, there was water on the earth. What happened there? He flooded something out. I'm telling you right now, water has been used in all of Scripture for something very powerful. They cleanse with it. They this with it. But it's also very powerful to the devils. It's also very powerful to the angels. It's also very powerful to the prince of the power of this earth. You understand, even when the devils leave a person, the Bible says that they seek in dry places. Water is something about water. And I'm not going to tell you I understand it because I don't, but I'm going to seek it out. I'm going to find it because I'm just now really, really, really looking into it. But there's something supernatural about water that not only does it cause death, but it brings forth life. It's kind of like the Word of God. The Bible says that in the Bible that we are washed by the washing and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It says that we are washed by the Word of God. And so the Bible compares the Word of God to water, which means what? It can either kill or it can either make alive. The Word of God can either kill someone, meaning what? Judgment upon them. Or it can give them mercy and life, either one. The Word of God is amazing, isn't it? It doesn't. By the Word of God, the earth stood in the water, now the water. Let me keep reading. Look with me, please. In verse 6, it says, knowing this. That's the problem. Because it says in verse 3, know you not? And the truth of the matter is we don't. That's what I'm talking about it today. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Could someone please say that with me as a church? You ready? For he that is dead is freed from sin. Please think that. Keep that in your mind. Look what it says. It says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. How many people believe they have eternal life today? I want to know, and you don't have to answer, but you know we don't have all that time for back and forth questions, answers. But how do you know that you have eternal life? How do you know that you're going to live forever? How do you know that the moment your heart stops, you're going to be with God? There's only one reason, because Jesus Christ told us so. And that's called faith. It's called faith in what Jesus tells us. Amen? And what happens is then he gives us his Spirit to confirm it. Whatever God speaks, he confirms in our hearts. Amen? By faith. But look what it says. It says, knowing in verse 9 that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Look in verse 11. Likewise, please look, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead. Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead. I'm getting somebody. See, we're Baptists. We don't sprinkle. That meant nothing. I was a Catholic my whole, all grown up until I was 31 years old. And Methodists and Presbyterians and everyone else that came out of the Catholic Church, they sprinkle babies. They do. That means nothing. I didn't get baptized when I was a baby. I got a little wet. I got a little sprinkle on my head. That's not baptism. It's a little sprinkle. That's why baptism is the most important thing outside of the cross. Because it means something. It represents something. It is powerful, not just to you, but to the devil and to the angels and all the principalities and the air. Because Jesus, as he was lifted up on the cross, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to me. And when he was lifted up, all the sky drew dark. Blackness was on the face. You know what that was? It was every power and principality and dominion and angel and Satan and Lucifer himself, all there watching. It was darkness. And the reason it was because the Son of Man was lifted up and being crucified and died. And it was a testimony, not to me and you, a testimony to the angels and the powers and the principalities, that the Son of Man is paid for. The Son of Man is mine. The Son of Man is bought and paid for on the cross at Calvary. The Son of God and the Son of Man are one. Amen. But guess what? When God left Jesus, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, God left that man, the Son of Man, all alone, all by himself, forsaken of God himself, because he had your sin on him. And because he died, he paid for your sin. And he paid for the sin of every single human being. That's my Jesus. Amen. He didn't just pay for a few people's sins. He didn't just pay for his family's sins. He didn't just pay for the sins of the people that were there. He paid for the sins of the people, any human being that's ever going to be born. Man, that's awesome. That's powerful. Man, think about that. He paid for the sins of people that weren't even born yet, Dave. This is a pie, and all of a sudden I get born in this world and I got sin in me, just like you, and then I hear the gospel message that God so loved me and he sent his son and he died and he suffered, and all the world, even that old devil knows it. Guess what, devil? I'm saved. Amen. You can't touch me. I belong to God. All my sins are gone. You can't say that and have a good conscience with God unless you've been planted in the likeness of his death. There's no way you can say, yeah, I'm saved. Really? Show me the evidence. Where's the proof? I saw the proof. The devil saw the proof. Jesus was lifted up. And he saw the proof when he rose again. But how about you, you measly human? You're going to tell me you've been dead with Jesus? You're going to tell me you've risen with Jesus? Show me the proof. That's why God gave us baptism. It's so important and so powerful. 1 Corinthians 10:1-2, you don't have to turn there. It says that Moses and all of Israel and their followers were baptized in the Red Sea. It actually says, I would not have you to be ignorant. That's why it says, now you don't know how that they were all passed through the Red Sea and were all baptized unto Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. They were baptized into Moses. That same water that saved the whole nation killed all Pharaoh's men. That same water is either going to be life or death. Life or death. It's in the power of God, and it's in you, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. The first century Christians understood this, and every single time someone said, I believe, here's water, what does hinder me? What's stopping me to be baptized? And he says, only if you believe with all your heart you may. And he says, I believe. And how do they do it? I'm associating myself. I'm showing. That's why Jesus said, the first thing he said, confess me before men and I will confess you before my Father. The very first act of a Christian after they're saved, after they become a true born again child of God, is enter the baptism waters, because you can't get on the cross. You can't climb up on the cross and nail yourself on there. But what God said is, no, but you can be buried in the waters. And that represents that you're being planted with Christ, buried with Christ. Here it says, did you turn with me? Oh, you didn't turn with me. Never mind. I'm getting ahead of myself. But listen to me. Water, it's a symbol. It's a symbol. Just like the cross is a symbol, is it not? I like it how you know, all them vampire movies, you know, they get the cross and the, you know, they can't look, you know, it's just movies. But in the real world, in the spiritual world, I think it works the same way. The cross, I'm saved, devil. I'm saved. I plead the blood of Jesus. He died for me. You know, that's where they get that stuff from. What are you going to tell the devil when he comes up to you and say, you're not born again? Yeah, I am. I died. I'm dead to sin. Really? When did that happen? Oh, well, you know, I got sprinkled as a baby. That's not baptism. It's not planted in the likeness of his death. And that's why I didn't know that. That's why he said, are you ignorant of? You don't know? How come you don't know? How come you don't know? Because we don't read our Bibles. And we listen to religion. And I'm not religious, trust me. I'm just a Christian. We belong to a Baptist church, not by choice. We didn't name ourselves Baptists. We're just Christians, amen? Followers of the book. And the Catholic Church named us Anabaptists. Why? Because that means you rebaptizers. Because every New Testament Christian always knew you can't be baptized as a baby because babies can't hear the gospel. They can't understand. You got to be old enough to hear the gospel and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you are planted in the likeness of his death. Water is a symbol. It's a symbol of life and it's a symbol of death. Baptism is a symbol of death, of judgment, and also of new life. Hallelujah. You know, you think about the water that flooded the earth. You think about the water that flooded Pharaoh's army. Every time after coming out of the water, it was a new beginning. Something new happened. It was a whole new beginning. When Christ, just think about this. When Christ was crucified, that was a symbol of death. It was a symbol of judgment, but it was also a symbol of new life. Just like baptism. You cannot be... Let me ask you a question. How many people were baptized? Just say amen. Raise your hand. Okay. Do you realize you can't be baptized if you're still alive? You can't come to the waters of baptism until you first come to the cross of Calvary and be crucified. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. And the one that loved me and gave himself for me says, now you confess to the world, confess to the church, confess to the angels, confess to the devil, confess to the powers that be, that you belong to me. How? I am buried with Christ in baptism, wherein I am risen to walk in newness of life. As we celebrate Easter, and this isn't an Easter message, trust me, but it is a message of amazing hope. It is a message of amazing power, that we have power in the blood of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, but mostly in the resurrection of Christ. If I just buried, when we baptize you, if I held you down, and I would never do that, don't get scared. And I held you down, and you died, you ain't coming out. Do you understand? As this waters will kill someone, because that's what it represents. It represents death. It also, when that person comes out of the water, it represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now your sins are washed away and you walk in newness of life. How many people are saved by water? See, a sprinkling isn't it. And it's scary to me that so many people are resting and trusting that I was baptized as a baby. How many people were baptized as a baby? Come on, I was. Yeah. Do you remember it? No? Wasn't it powerful to you when you were there? No. It was something your parents did because of some tradition that they made up 900 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They never did that. It was when babies started to be dying in the Black Plague and stuff like that. And so people thought, my baby can't get saved because he's dying. So they would sprinkle a little water, now your baby's safe. And it was just a thing to make the parents feel better. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with it. Salvation has to come from inside of you. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Or do you trust in Jesus Christ? Do you associate yourself with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God? Are you high and lifted up? Do you have enough faith to show the world? Do you have enough faith to show the devil that I'm planted with Christ in baptism, wherein I'm risen to walk in newness of life? Until you've been baptized, you're still alive. Nobody gets buried alive. Do you understand? You have to come to Christ and be dead first. Life, judgment, death, crucifixion. Before anyone can come to be buried with him in baptism, they must die first. Before you can be buried, you got to die. You understand that? You don't bury someone who's alive. When were you crucified with Christ? When did you come to the cross? When did you realize that he was dying and suffering for you and for your sin? And without him and association with him, your sin's still on you? But if you will come to the cross and come to Christ and say, Jesus, I accept your sacrifice for my sin. I accept you dying on my behalf. Will you save me? I believe. You know what's the first thing he says? Okay, prove it. Be baptized. That's why it's only common sense, because the truth of the matter is Jesus was lifted up high so that the powers and the principalities of the air would see it. Wood represents death and life, and the cross is more than a symbol. The cross is more than a symbol, and so is baptism. It's a sign. Please listen. Coming around. It's a sign. How many people like, you know, the sign of the cross, right? It's a sign. The sign of the fish on your car. It's a sign. But these are just man-made signs. The real sign is a circumcised heart. The real sign is the sign of the Holy Ghost. The real sign is the blood of Jesus upon you. But these are things you cannot see. We believe in things we cannot see, but we know God says they're there. So by faith, we take them and we trust them. But there's one thing that the devil wants to see. Are you real? Are you a phony like the rest of the world? Are you a real believer? If you are, then plant yourself in the likeness of his death. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, please turn there. We're going to go to Colossians 2 and we're going to go back and we're going to end up at where we started in 1 Peter 3. You know what it says? I love this, that it says this. But I want to just show you, when Jesus Christ was crucified, he was making a show to not people, but to the powers that be, the devil himself. Do you realize, as Doug taught today and many people teach all over, that the devil and the evil cannot touch you unless God allows it? When you belong to God, you have the protection of the Almighty God around you. But when you do wrong and you sin and the devil accuses you, as the Bible says, then God gives access to your life by Satan. And he comes in and he starts making a mess of your life. And it's only not to hurt you. It's like a spanking from God to correct you. It's like a timeout being sent in your corner. It's like a reprimand. God is a righteous father, and he will not allow his children to live in sin. Do you understand that? So if your life is going on and the devil is running amok in your life, this is what you need to do. You need to run, not walk. You need to run to God, fall on your face, confess your sins to him, and get your heart right with God again. And if you haven't been baptized, you need to get right with God. And you need to be planted in the likeness of his death. Because the Bible says, unless you're planted in the likeness of his death, there's no real guarantee that you're going to be resurrected in the likeness of his resurrection. The Bible says here in Colossians chapter 2, look at me in verse 12, please. Colossians 2:12 says this, buried with him in baptism. Did you read it? Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are, look what it says, risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him. That means made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Please think about this. Where's your sin? Is it on you or is it on Christ? It's a good question. I'm here to tell you right now, the only way you know that it's on Christ is by what you really truly believe. You can say you believe all you want. You can act like you believe all you want. You can go to church every single service. You can kneel down, stay, pray, say beads. You can prayers. You can do whatever you want to do. It means nothing. Means nothing, but faith means something. And faith, what did James say? Show me your faith. Let me see. I'm here to tell you, God showed the devil and the powers that be that his son, Jesus Christ, was him incarnate flesh. And the devil thought, boy, oh boy, we can kill him. He's a human. We can kill him and we'll rule and we'll reign. And the devil couldn't wait to kill him. But he never expected him to rise again from the dead. And when he rose again from the dead, he knew that he was defeated in this sense, that all a human being has to do is put their total faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and Jesus did all the work, and all the sins are gone. He paid for it all, and guess what? It was a show, not to you, but to them. It was a show to the devils and the powers of this air, because they have no property over you. They have no dominion over you through Christ. Keep reading. Look what it says. It says in verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him and hath forgiven you all trespasses." Look what it says. Blotting out. Blotting it out. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. But look in verse 15. "And having spoiled," that means robbed, ripped off, "principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly," triumphing over them in it, "made a show of them openly." Hallelujah. Let me take, give me a minute, please. What Jesus did when he was lifted up from the earth was not for our benefit. It was for theirs. It was a show. It was a show. It was a show to show the devil, to show the powers that be, to show the dark forces of this earth, to show hell and death that I am paying for the sin of all mankind. Hallelujah. It was a, I mean, there's nothing you can get away from. It's the most powerful thing that's ever happened. God sent his Son, God incarnate flesh, died. God paid the price and the penalty for sin. End of story. Period. Hallelujah. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again. No. Because now, because he lives, we shall ever live, the Bible says. Because he lives, we shall live. Because he's alive, we shall be alive. We have this promise from God, and it was a show openly. And that's what this is. Baptism is a show openly to the devils and all the world that I am a true believer. Really prove it. I'm going to plant myself in the burial, in the death of Jesus Christ. As I am planted with Christ, I am risen with Christ to walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Baptism is powerful. It's powerful. Because that old devil, without it, can come back and you say, you're not really saved. You're not really a Christian. You don't really believe this stuff. Look at you, living your lives like you would do. You're not real. And the devil will have his way with you when all reality, all you got to do is say, hey, that person's dead. The old man is dead. The old me is dead. Me, the one that was full of sin, he's dead. You know why? Because I got to attend my own funeral. And all my witnesses are here. This is a funeral. It's a funeral and it's a resurrection. And we get to attend someone's death of their old life, death of sin, death of the devil's power in a person's life. Because once you've been died, you're freed from sin. You cannot sin. People, I know you don't understand that. That's what it says. You cannot sin because you've already, Jesus already paid for it, right? And then guess what? You already showed that you believe by being buried. And a dead man can't sin, can he? Dead man can't sin. No matter, a dead man's on the ground right here. You can kick him. You can yell at him. You can throw water on. Doesn't matter. He's dead. Can't do nothing. Well, guess what? We live. Even though I'm dead, yet I live. Hallelujah. I just like Jesus. Even though he was dead, yet he lives. And he lives forever. And no one can take that from you. No one can take that from you. No devil, no principality, no power. That's why he said he made a show of them openly. He robbed them. Man, praise God. Look, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, it's a sign, it's a show, it's an absolute, that's what it says, a like figure. When were you saved by your death? If God said, if you believe in me, be baptized for the remissions of sin, and I don't care if I didn't believe it, I would jump in that water right now. If I thought the water could save me, I'd jump in that water. If I thought the water could save you, I'd do this and say, you're saved. There you go. You're saved now. You have no sin. I wish it were true. I'd be doing it to everybody. I'd be going to everyone's house smacking them with some water. I don't want my kids to go to hell. You know what I mean? Seriously. If I could just throw some water at people, hallelujah. You need a little shower, sorry. No, you didn't. Hey, dead people can't get mad. If you're dead in your sin, you can't get angry at me. All right? Just confused. Listen to me. Water can't save you. Faith saves you. Faith. Do you believe? Do you really believe? Are you crucified with Christ? Before you could ever get buried, you have to die first. Have you been crucified with Christ? Have you associated yourself with Christ on the cross? Did Christ, do you know and understand and believe that it was Christ dying on the cross for your sin? Do you understand that? If you don't understand it, I hope and pray you do. And this is what happened, the Bible says here. And we'll finish with this. The angels, when Jesus resurrected from the dead. Do you remember the story on Easter morning, they say, Resurrection Day? It says that they all came to the grave and they were looking at the tomb. And the angels appeared and said, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Behold, he's not here, for he is risen." And they were like, "He's not here." And guess what we have? Another symbol, a sign that our Lord is the Lord, that our God is the God, an empty tomb. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Resurrection happens when a person associates themselves and is planted with Christ. These 10 or so, whatever, young kids and older ones and adults, they all believed with all their heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. They believed with all their heart, Brian, that Jesus died for them and paid their sin. And they called upon his name and they received the atonement through the blood. But now, because they received the atonement, now it's time to be buried. You were crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Please listen. They received the atoning blood of Jesus Christ by faith on their souls. That's what saved you. Do you understand that? Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And he died for you. And they received that truth in their heart. And now, because of God, he put the blood of Jesus upon their souls where it's forgiven. They have eternal life. Now, they have to be buried. Do you understand? That's what baptism is. Now they're coming, and they're going to come forth. I'm going to ask two guys to come up here. Would you come on up, Danny, Carl, someone, and take this and bring this over here, Whitney? As a matter of fact, I already got it. Already got it. Bring this right in the front, please. Lift it up. Lift it up. Right here. There you go. That's good. Now it's time to be buried. That's why the Bible says buried with him in baptism. After you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and after you believe with all your heart that he died on the cross for you and they shed his blood for you, the Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ." And many people in this room, almost everyone in this room, almost, has received Jesus as their Savior. And they did that because the cross is a sign to all that believe. Amen? But now the next sign is to the devil and to the powers of the air that you mean it. By faith, it says. And you enter into the baptism waters. You enter into the waters. What you're doing is now it's time for the old you to be buried. That person that died on the cross, that person, I'm talking about you, that person that God put on the cross with his son, the person that already paid for the sin, that person now has got to be buried. And that's what we're going to do. But guess what? It's something that only you can do. Only a true believer can do. And they come in and they are buried under the water. And the water represents death. You understand that? The water represents... No, you can't have a bath. And the water represents death. But then guess what happens from death? Comes eternal life. And they're going to rise again up out of the water, and it represents, and it's a show openly to all the powers that be, that I'm dead, I've been crucified, I'm died, I'm buried, and I'm risen again. Hallelujah. And I'm on my way to heaven, and you can't touch me. You can't touch me. I don't belong to you no more. I belong to Jesus. Amen. I associate myself with Jesus Christ. How many people can say amen to that? That's what you need to do. Whenever they're ready, Tam, you can bring them in. 1 Peter chapter 3, it says this, where we started. Are you there? Look what it says. And we'll just finish with this. The like figure. The like figure. Whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Look what it says. But the answer of a good conscience towards God. How can anyone that won't be planted in the likeness of his death have any assurance that you're going to be risen in like him? Everything we do is supposed to be what Jesus did. Jesus suffered on the cross. God doesn't want you to suffer. He already did it. But in our hearts of faith, we understand that he did that for us. Amen. We associate ourselves with the cross. But we can't be nailed to the cross. But what we can do is be buried with him in baptism, as we read in three different scriptures. Buried with him in baptism, whereunto we are risen with him to walk in newness of life. When that old devil tries to tell you, tries to make you doubt your salvation, tries to make you doubt that you belong to God, you can take him right back to this. As the angels, please listen, and they're coming. As the angel said, look, behold, he's not here. I was baptized. How many people were baptized underwater, just like the Bible says? Yeah. Well, guess what? You remember it? Yeah. I know you do. You remember it? It was a time. It was important. Amen? Well, it should be important to you, because that's a time when that old devil tries to tempt you. You could take him right back to the tomb and say, guess what? I'm not there. I'm risen. He's not there. The old you's not there. You are not in the grave. You are risen again. The reason we live is because he lives. And the reason this world has hope is because you live. And you live. And he lives. And you live. And Bert lives. Because they live, there's hope. The gospel can still go on. Christians, little Christ, running around, preaching, teaching, loving, laying hands on people, filling people with hope and with joy and with peace and with love. You understand? We're little Christ. And if we haven't been risen from the dead, then there's no hope of that. Are they any of them ready yet? All right. The message is over just because I want it to be over. Let me read this to you, please. He's not there in the tomb. We got an empty grave. And you're not in the tank because you rose from the dead. Amen? The water is our tomb. The water is our tomb where we were buried. It represents our death. And it also represents our resurrection, our new life. Having a good conscience towards God. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us by the answer of a good conscience. Right now I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around. Would you please come up? And I want everyone right now to just do some business with you and God. It has nothing to do with religion. Has nothing to do with our church. It's just you and God. I don't care what church you go to. I just want you to go to heaven when you die. And I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you, how's your conscience towards God? Have you received Jesus Christ for the atonement of your sin? Have you placed yourself on the cross? Are you crucified with Christ? Have you died to self? Well, then now it's time to be buried. Buried with him in baptism. We are risen with him to walk in newness of life. I'm going to ask, how's your conscience with God? Come on up. Come on around here. You going first? Are you? You stand right here. Everybody behind her in the line.